Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice for the church, declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IOW and its advertisers or affiliates.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, today, this evening, you are going to be the guest here, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we always look forward to this. We simply take a topic. You want to change the topic? You want to just talk about anything? Give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So I would be glad to talk about what you'd like to talk about, or we can talk about what I would like to talk about. And I thought this evening I would talk about General Petraeus's testimony before Congress. We talked about how we were really defeating Al-Qaeda. Now, you have to understand when General Petraeus talks about how we're defeating Al-Qaeda and bringing Al-Qaeda under control in Iraq, he's really being disingenuous. We're not fighting Al-Qaeda there. We're fighting a Sunni. We're fighting people who feel that we are an occupying power. We're caught in a civil war between the Sunnis and the Shia Muslims. Yes, there are a few Al-Qaeda there, probably no more than about 2,000, according to a recent estimate by the Cato Institute. And, of course, they are coming primarily from Saudi Arabia and funded by our good friends in Saudi Arabia, who we are funding, and by our good friends in Pakistan, who we are funding. And if we really wanted to stop Al-Qaeda, why don't we just stop funding the people who are funding Al-Qaeda? Certainly the Pakistan government has been funding the Pakistani ISI, which has been funding the Taliban units that is, actually have sanctuary in Pakistan, and that, of course, they come down into Afghanistan, and they kill our boys in the poppy fields in the villages of Afghanistan, just as during the Vietnam War. The United States government and American corporations funded Russia, that funded the North Vietnamese, that funded the Viet Cong that were killing our boys in South Vietnam, in the rice paddies and villages of South Vietnam. And what we're really seeing is Vietnam all over again. In Vietnam, our men were not allowed to win. In Iraq and Afghanistan, our men are not allowed to win. Recently, we've had a surge. They've added 30,000 additional troops to our forces in Iraq, and supposedly this is actually doing a good job to limit the violence, and I really think it probably is. And we have a caller on line one. Who is this?
Oh, you have Roger in Allentown, Dr. Stan.
All right, Roger. Let me just finish my thought, and then we'll get your thoughts in there under any circumstances. If the additional 30,000 troops have done such a good job, why did we wait well over 4 years into the war before we added the additional troops it was going to take to actually begin to be effective? Certainly we know that during the first Gulf War back in 1991, why we took 697,000 troops, and they were stationed and they were brought into Kuwait, and they were supporting for our action in Kuwait, where we didn't even really engage Saddam's army. We just tried to drive them out of Kuwait. If it took 697,000 troops in 1991, why would we think that with 140,000 troops, we could not only take Iraq, this much larger country, and occupy that much larger country and subdue that much larger country, especially after we created chaos there by dissolving the army and the police force and the civil service and discontinuing anybody then who could provide water or electricity or sewage and shutting down all the factories, government-run factories, and throwing well over 100,000 men out work, and they had nothing to do, no way to support themselves, but they could always get money by joining the insurgents, who always seemed to have unlimited money coming from our good friends in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. So we've created a problem. Why did we wait 4 years before we decided we better add an additional 30,000 men? But you'll be glad to know that, according to General Petraeus, why 5,000 will be home for Christmas. Doesn't that make you feel better? Well, it doesn't make me feel better because our boys are going over there to fight and bleed and suffer and die. We're destroying our military. This week I talked to a retired 3-star general who used to be superior to General Petraeus, and he's retired now. He told me that we're going to have to get out of there within a year and a half, because we're destroying our military. We're destroying the American Army, and did you ever stop to think that maybe that's what it's all about? Well, Roger, go ahead. What's your thought?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Stan. Now, of course, the liberals have taken to labeling Petraeus as General Betrayus. Don't you think that General Pretorius would be more appropriate?
I think that General Petraeus is a loyal military man who's doing what he should. I think he's a courageous guy. I think most of our military are good people, and I certainly don't think that we ought to be criticizing our military. I mean, these are people who mean very, very well. They're simply being misused by the people in the Pentagon who have a different agenda. So, certainly, I believe that our soldiers are brave. I believe our military officials are brave. I just wish more of them had the courage to quit and come out and tell the truth about what's going on and tell the American people, we've got to get out. We've got to get out of Iraq before we destroy our whole American army. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think that the liberals hate America, a lot of them do, and they hate our military. And I don't hate them, I just think they're being misused.
I wasn't seeking to fault General Petraeus with my reference, more in terms of the role. But in one astral week, Dr. Stan, since you had William Norman Grigg on...
Hold for just a moment here. We're going to just go to the next line here. And I'm going to ask if you'll just hold your line, and we'll be with you in just a moment, okay?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, you have me back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've been wanting to ask, and I feel like in the position of someone who's heard a lie so often, I think I'm actually was starting to believe it a bit.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. Well, we've got Roger calling in, and Roger is saying that many of the liberals, of course, are very, very critical of our military, and I'm not critical of our military. I just point out they haven't been allowed to win the war, and, of course, the people who are running things from Washington, D.C., are intent upon destroying our military. And this last few days, I talked to a retired lieutenant general, and we'll be having him as a guest next week, who told me we've got to get our troops out within a year because we are destroying the United States military. They're not being destroyed by the Iraqis. We are destroying them by our policies there. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, I didn't know if anyone rises as high as Petraeus's position, however, without being in... substantial enough alignment with the Council on Foreign Relations Illuminati One World or Burger agenda. Do you think that's possible?
Yes, I think there are a lot of good people in the military who have nothing to do with the CFR. I think you may get ahead more if you are part of the globalist agenda, but I think we have a lot of good military officers who love America, and they're willing to risk their lives and fight and die for our country. And I think we should respect them for it, but they also must have the courage to quit when the time comes and tell the American people the truth.
Dr. Stan, I want to ask about the claims of executive privilege that we've heard, and I'm hard-pressed to think of any subject area where this claim of executive privilege might be valid. Now, it might be unseemly for Congress to ask, like, certain personal family questions or something like that, but am I wrong in thinking that virtually every claim as relates to the executive office of privilege, from questioning the executive's cabinet and other such officials, that there may be no validity or subject area at all that would be valid in these claims?
Well, let's say that the president has running a very secretive administration. He does not want the American people to know what's going on. So I think that there's a tremendous unjustified use of executive privilege. And if you have nothing to conceal, then why are they concealing it? I agree with you, Roger. Hey, thanks very much for calling. Good to hear from you. Okay, let's go to our next caller. And, I think... Hello, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, fine. What was your name?
Jack in Michigan.
Okay, fine, Jack. Go ahead. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, Jack, what was your comment?
Okay, since the president, you were addressing, Roger, the president's conduct, I think it's always imperative, as you have done so well, to identify the presidential decision directive or whatever it was that granted unto himself all this essentially sovereign dictatorial power, along with the Military Commissions Act and the act that dissolved the Posse Comitatus.
That was the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act. Well, what was your point?
Okay, well, I just think, Dr. Stan, it's great to review those, because there are times when I am going to write these things down and then I get interrupted. But Jack McLam, was it 2 weeks ago you had him on?
Right, uh-huh.
He identified some really astonishing information regarding people, good people in the intelligence community, just like you identified with Roger. You know, the highest echelons of the military and the intelligence community are not totally co-opted or subverted, I don't think. And I think it's because there are a few good ones still there that the truth, the uncensored facts, has been divulged.
Okay, well, now, did you have a question or a point you wanted to make?
Okay, what would you recommend people do? I call these talk, conservative, there's Mark Levin, there's Phil whatever, there's several. There's a guy, in fact, right in Roger's backyard at KDKA in Pittsburgh, who's on from midnight until 5, it's called After Hours with Gary Dixon. Roger should call that program, but as I do. But Dr. Stan, they always criticize the presentation of these facts by stating that, you hate America, you don't support the military, you don't support the president.
I think you're taking the wrong approach, Jack. You do support the military. That's why if you want to get them out of there, we're destroying the military. You want to support what they're doing. It's just a shame that they're not allowed to win the war. It's Vietnam all over again. Get your facts down. You can present them. And the idea in any talk radio program is to put the host on the defensive. And once you can do that, you can get your points over. You do care about America. You just resent the people who've taken over our government, who have a different agenda. After all, everybody who becomes a government official swears to defend our country against enemies, both foreign and domestic. And those people who are intent upon globalism are the domestic enemies of our country. So, you know, just keep listening and then use some of the techniques we use here to try to educate the people. Remember, you're not going to change the position of the host. Ordinarily, he's there because he has an agenda. You are talking to the people in the audience. Put on a very nice presentation, Sydney. If they insult you or are nasty, you know, you're going to have to put up with it. But you will win out because you're not going to win for them. But how do the people who are listening to the program feel? And if they identify with you rather than with the rude host, you've won. Okay?
Amen. I agree. And Dr. Stank, can you bring Jack McLamb back on a more regular basis?
I will try to get Jack on. I will try. Thanks very much for calling,
Thank you,
Jack. Okay, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I have a few comments, something important that I discovered. Also, I wanted to mention that you forgot to mention that the Blackwater Group and these mercenaries that they're these secret groups that they have, the mercenaries, they're being, because the army is dwindling, you know, the army is very weak, so that what they're doing is they're creating these mercenary groups, like Blackwater. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
Yes, I do.
But, yeah, and it's very very disturbing. But I wanted to mention tonight that
You remember, of course, at the time of the American Revolution, why, of course, they had their mercenaries there. They were the Hessian soldiers. They were the Redcoats, and they were not British soldiers who were fighting for the crown. They were professional German soldiers up for hire. They were professional killers.
Right.
Just like Blackwater.
Blackwater, go ahead. I wanted to say that I've uncovered some very interesting information. I read a paper by Dr. John Coleman concerning the JFK assassination, and it points the finger at Great Britain. I would say, just by looking at the history of the thing, that Great Britain has never really been our friend. They've been more like our enemy since day one. I really believe that they've sabotaged this country. I believe that they pressured us to set up the Federal Reserve to bring it under the control of the Bank of International Settlements in 1931. I believe that they also control President Wilson. According to what I read...
How did the British control President Wilson?
Well, they had a man named Sir William Weissman of MI6, North American Desk. And he was in control of Colonel House.
He was in control? How did he control Colonel House?
According to Dr. John Coleman.
Well, I tell you what, I've talked to John many, many times. I've read his material. And, I would just read everything with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure that you can document this other sources before you use it, okay?
Yeah.
And the thing is that, there are forces, there are satanic forces working at the highest levels of the British government, as there have been going back for hundreds, if not thousands of years, but that doesn't, at least
that
a thousand years, but that doesn't mean that everything is related to the British, because basically the murder of JFK was a CIA, FBI operation. They couldn't have gotten away with it without the support of J. Edgar Hoover, who hated the Kennedys, and, of course, the head of the CIA was Alan Dulles, who'd been fired by Jack Kennedy.
Mm.
So, you know, things are not always exactly as people want to say. I think what they want to do is take our attention off who is really behind all of this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and there really is people who belong to secret societies, and, of course, many of them are domestic, but they tie into the British as well. But there are people out there who want to focus your attention many times on the wrong enemy.
Mm.
And we are involved in a spiritual battle. And there really are secret societies that pay allegiance to Lucifer. When you understand that, much of what's going on makes sense.
I understand that, but I've often wondered about this, about FBI and MI6 and I think there was some involvement there. I really do.
Do you think that they pulled the figures?
Well, because there was a man named Lewis Bloomfield who was part of this so-called Committee of 300, which is includes the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and the CFR.
Do you know anybody who's ever written about the Committee of 300 besides John Coleman?
No, but
okay,
it's,
fine.
It's
hey,
very
hey,
interesting.
Got to have to hold on for just a
yeah.
moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly John Coleman's a very, very fascinating and brilliant individual. I just have never been able to confirm that a Committee of 300 from any other source.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
I says, oh, yeah, that's a Saman. And here's what he's saying, you know, because he's speaking in Arabic, but they tell us what he says. And then if you look at the pictures of him very closely, they don't look at all like the other pictures we've seen, and certainly this last one, with his beautiful black beard, you know, and no streaks of gray in it like it used to be before. The other beard was very, you know, a little straggly, and this one's just beautiful, full beard. Almost looks like it came right out of a casting studio, you know. The makeup man had pasted it on him. But be that as it may, you know, I share William's concern. I think that they are using the media to convince us of things that aren't true. And anybody who'd like to know about Osama bin Laden, I suggest they go onto the internet and Google in Osama bin Laden died. And you'll find literally hundreds of hits, and we have some fairly reliable information. Osama died long ago, but we can't tell the American people that because, well, if they, we have to have a boogeyman. We have to have somebody we're afraid of. And, of course, who would better to be afraid of than the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's plotting to take away our freedom. He attacked us because we're free, and he hates us because we're free, and that's why we've got to have video cameras going up all across America, why the government's got to be able to use the satellites we used to use to monitor the Soviets. Now we're going to use them to monitor all American citizens. That's why we've got to be able to listen to the telephone calls on all Americans, not just those terrorists. Read the emails on all Americans and the faxes on all Americans. And that's Project Echelon, in what was going on long before the terrorist attack. Simply go up on the internet and Google in Echelon, Echelon. But anyway, William, go ahead. What did you want to say?
Well, I think that we're planning to corner the world energy market in 2008. We have everybody, except for Iran and Venezuela, two major oil players in place. We've also ExxonMobil, which used to be Standard Oil, which tried to overthrow the American government in 1933. They've suppressed all kinds of energy technology. There's this guy who has great technology. He was one of my friends. His master's program was to figure out how the trees elevate water like 90 feet in the air using passive, like, chemistry, which would basically give you a waterfall for free. And we could have that in our power plants instead. We do oil for the majority of our systems. And if we, you know, that's, we could totally ace the Chinese and the Soviets. You know, they started these plans in like the 60s and 70s when we realized Vietnam and Korea weren't going to work out. If we went over there, Cold War happened, we'd probably get, you know, shot up. It wouldn't really work. Like Vietnam and Korea, we didn't win either of those wars. We wouldn't probably get Moscow or Beijing.
Well, we never tried to win either war. That's the thing. And there were no-win wars, just like Iraq and Afghanistan are no-win wars. And the war is really against, the war is a major diversion. The war is against our soldiers to kill off the bravest and the most idealistic and patriotic. And, of course, this is one of the reasons for wars. It's to kill the other people with character and integrity and leave those equivocal men behind at home to reproduce. Go ahead, William.
Well, I think this thing, I've heard the CIA say that 2007 was the year everybody puts their cards on the table, basically. And we've been trying to invade Iran for a long time. If we invade Iran, peak oil is the next day. There will be not enough oil on the market as soon as we bomb Iran. And, you know, who knows when that day is coming? It could come, like, this weekend, right?
It really could. And I think that people have to understand, why in heaven's name does George Bush want to invade Iran? And yet, of course, for us in the end, I just talked today to a gentleman I know who's been in intelligence for many years, just came back from the Middle East, and he says it's only a matter of time. Everybody over there knows it's a matter of time. We're bringing in all the maintenance, all the explosives that we're bringing in. Well, actually, I think within a week or two, we'll have three carrier strike task force right there in the Persian Gulf. And I think that they're, if we go to war with Iran, especially if Iran actually strikes back and were to take out a carrier of ours or there were to be a terrorist attack on America, our whole economy would collapse. This is what it's really all about. The enemy is not over in Iran, in Iraq. The enemy is here, and what do they want to do is destroy the economy of America, destroy our currency, and take us into a global currency, because you can't have a world government unless you got a global currency. Hang on there. William, we'll be right back. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, William, go right ahead.
Howdy. I think that the world's religions are being subverted by state organizations and one world government types. I mean, world religions are a serious and major force of ethical morality and goodness. And if we subvert them, or if, you know, if the NWO and the Bilderbergs and the Skull and Bones 332 folks subvert them, especially with fundamentalism and violence, directly against the kinds of things that Jesus taught, then America would be wildly weakened. I mean, it seems that the Zionist state is subverting Judaism. We've founded radical Islam, basically, in the 1960s, so it seems, so I've read.
I think you're absolutely right. Certainly, this radical form of the Muslim faith had pretty well subsided. Until it began to recur itself, really started coming back in the 1980s, when, of course, we recruited Muslim warriors throughout the world to come to Afghanistan to fight the Soviets, and we began to indoctrinate them with this radical form of Islam. We put out $53 million through USAID, a United States Agency for International Development, $53 million or 51, I can't remember which, actually for textbooks that were to be used in these Islamic schools in Afghanistan and Pakistan, the madras schools, to indoctrinate the youth in this radical form of Islam. Why in heaven's name would you do that unless you wanted the resurgence of this radical form of Islam? Because if we're going to have a third world war, we have to have an enemy. And do you know a better enemy than radical Islam? And I really believe that what they want is a class of civilizations, and I really believe that they want to, of course, get the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims fighting and destroy all of them. And if you've been watching these programs on CNN about God's warriors, they are intent upon destroying a belief in the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, and the Muslim faith. We're dealing with people who hate religion, especially the monotheistic religions, and their goal is a new world religion, a new world order, a new world leader. And they know exactly what they're doing, and yet there's probably not one in a thousand Americans who understands that we're heading towards a war with the Muslim world. And we're not going to do very well, I can promise you that, especially since they've just about destroyed the United States Army. And they've not it not by accident, but by intent.
Well, you may know that...
Hold on. We're going to have to bring the other stations on. We'll be right with you.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is Open Line Wednesday. So we'll be glad to take your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've been talking about the war in Iraq and Afghanistan and then about the coming war with Iran. And it is only really a matter of, well, I can't say weeks or months, but I have very little doubt that we are going to war with Iran. And it doesn't make any sense if you look at it logically. So there must be another agenda. And as William was saying, and I certainly agree, they really want to get America at war with the Muslim world and destroy Christianity, the Jewish faith, and the fundamental Muslim faith. So go ahead, William. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead.
You'd really be surprised. Well, you probably know in the radio business, most of the companies or most of the media stations out there are owned by only one or two companies who are left.
That right. Well, there are actually five mega corporations that own, you know, the major media in the United States, certainly Fox and Time Warner I've forgotten the names of them, but there are five mega corporations now that AOL Disney and one other. Five mega corporations control it all. 95% of the media belong to them. That's why you're not getting the truth.
1933, Standard Oil, General Motors, a series of other companies approached U.S. Major General of the Marines, Smedley Butler.
Right.
They said, hey, Smedley, let's take 500,000 guys and overthrow that FDR and install one of those fascist regimes in here.
Well, because they didn't put it quite in those terms, but you're talking about the book, The Plot to Seize the White House, which is an excellent book. We recommend it to people. And General Butler, of course, went along with them, and then, of course, it tried to expose them. Really, the man who was coordinating was a man named Thomas Lamont, who, of course, worked for J.P. Morgan and Company, and one of the founders of the Council on Foreign Relations, a man who was, of course, went to Europe after the First World War with Colonel House, Thomas Lamont, one of the founding members of the Council on Foreign Relations, was really the man behind the plot to seize the White House. But you're right, in essence, that's what they wanted. They wanted Smedley Butler to lead a march on Washington, D.C., and topple FDR and bring in a fascist government.
It sounds like they got it, basically, by 2008 or 7.
Well, they're well on their way, but the average American really doesn't understand what's going on. They honestly believe we're a democracy, because, you see, their minds have been molded, their ideas have been largely created by men that they've never heard of. They don't understand even the difference between a republic and a democracy, and that we are not a democracy, a republic. We still have a framework of law. It's simply that the traitors in Washington, D.C. have done everything they could to circumvent the Constitution, and most of what Congress does today is unconstitutional. And there's only one man, of course, who stands up and says, let's get back to the Constitution. He's running for the presidency, and he's attacked by Hannity and Combs and by all the media because he dares to say, you know, we ought to abide by the Constitution.
This is Mr. Ron Paul?
Right.
Oh, he's my man.
Right.
You know, I think the only difference between Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, which everyone out there should vote for one of those people, basically, is that Dennis Kucinich wants to make a whole new constitution that's just the same as the old one and ratify it.
No,
Ron Paul wants to go back to the old one.
I think that we would a terrible thing to try to make a new constitution. There's nothing wrong with the old Constitution.
Well, certainly there is.
We just need to reclaim it. And I'm always a little bit worried about somebody like Kucinich, who I don't think understands the Constitution.
Well, a lot of the things that he argues for are right in the Constitution.
You're
like the
absolutely
First Amendment.
Right. Well, why does he want, of course, to make a new one? Why not use the one we've got? Because if you hold a constitutional convention, why, you never know what you're going to end up with.
Well, you know, he talks about, like, rights for all these people who, in the Constitution, they already have those rights. He just
right.
wants to, like, make it a bylaw. That's exactly the same as the Constitution. That's the only thing about it.
All right, fine. Well, I'll stick with the Constitution we have. I telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And anything else you wanted to say, William?
Well, I think that about wraps it up. Thank you so much for being on the air. I mean, really good to be able to get this message out. How can we get more of this message out to more people?
Well, we can get them to listen to our programs. Of course, they can listen to us on the certainly on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. We have about 60 outlets across America that they can listen to. They can get us on shortwave. We're on Telstar 5 satellite 9 hours a day. And, of course, it's inexpensive to get the satellite. We're hoping very, very soon to be offering our program on Internet radio. That's known as Wi-Fi. And we're hoping to have those Wi-Fi radios available through Radio Liberty, and people will want to get them, and then they too can listen 9 hours a day in the comfort of their home on their own radio.
Well, break out.
Okay, anything else?
Well, your service to the community.
God bless, and just encourage people to listen, William. Thanks very much.
You too. Bye.
All right, fine. Well, I'm very, very concerned about what's going on in the Middle East. And talking to a friend of mine who's just back from over there, he tells me that everything points to the fact that when the war comes, it will not only be a war with Iran, but probably with Syria as well. And my fear is that when we go to war over there, why, it's going to lead to a violent reaction in Muslim countries throughout the Middle East and the Near East and North Africa and throughout the rest of the world, because the Muslims look upon America's invasion over there as unjust and cruel and unjustified. We are on their holy land. But more than that, of course, most of the countries in that part of the world, in the Middle East and the Near East, are controlled by dictators that we're keeping in power, whether it be Mubarak in Egypt, or the king in Morocco, or the current government in Algeria, which is no more democratic. I mean, they had an election, the radical Islamists won, so they just suspended the election. Certainly in Saudi Arabia, we're keeping a ruthless, brutal government in power. The same is true in Kuwait. We sent our boys over there in 1991 to fight to restore democracy in Kuwait. Did anybody ever look into the government of Kuwait? It's not a feudal monarchy, as is true in so many of the Arab countries over there. Certainly it is only the force of arms and terror that's keeping these governments in power. And in Turkey, it's the military that's keeping... I mean, they have the framework of a democracy, but if you don't, if you are a radical Islamist, why, they will not allow you to assume power. And, of course, what's going to happen, I fear, is if we go to war with Islam, why, there's going to be revolutions in all of those countries, specifically in Pakistan as well. And of course, Pakistan, as you know, has not only nuclear weapons, it also has a very sophisticated missiles, which they got from communist China, and North Korea, which of course got the technology from, you guessed it, the United States of America. And if, of course, those missiles, nuclear-tipped missiles, fall into the hands of the radical Islamists, we will have accomplished exactly what was intended all along. And I believe that the people who are working behind the scenes have always wanted to have a nuclear energy enemy and a nuclear war, and God help us all. I'm not sure he's going to, but I think we're in for terrible, terrible times. And I mentioned before, but I was in the military immediately after the Second World War. I was a battalion surgeon stationed in Frankfurt and Mainz, and I saw the rubble of Germany following the Second World War, and I would hate to think that we would see the same rubble in San Francisco and Los Angeles and New York and Washington, D.C. Well, let's go to Robert, who's actually calling from Colorado. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but do not say it could not happen here, because behind everything going on, there are spiritual forces, and remember, God brings judgment on nations that have turned against him. All you need to do is read the Old Testament and see how God used the Assyrians and then the Babylonians to bring judgment on the children of Israel when they turned against him. God has blessed this country wonderfully and generously. And how have we rewarded him? Well, let's go to Robert. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Monteith. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Fine. Doing just fine.
Good, good. You were talking about General Petraeus and the beginning of the program. Clearly, he lied about his program, troop withdrawal or whatever. They have no intention of pulling troops out now or ever. That war is going to go on for a decade, if not longer. So that was pretty transparent. But I wanted to chat a little bit about the Constitution, if I could. I've been reading it on Pocket Constitution, and I think it's Amendment Number 7, if memory serves me correctly, but that's the one that forbids excessive bail. Is that Amendment 7?
Well, let's see here now. That's the 7th Amendment to the Constitution.
Or maybe it's 8th Amendment. Anyway, it's one of the two. Anyway, let's say I commit a capital murder, kill someone heinously, and I'm arrested, charged with first-degree murder. and my bail is set at $1 million.
If the Seventh Amendment limits excessive bail, shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel or unusual punishment inflicted. So that's the Seventh Amendment. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So if I'm held on a charge of first-degree murder, capital murder, and my bond is $1.2 million, wouldn't that be a violation of the Seventh Amendment?
No, I don't think so, because you might very well get out and run away, so that's not excessive bail. They just want to make sure that a murderer, if you had actually committed the murder, is not out prowling around, going to commit another murder, and that you're not going to flee the country. No, I don't think that's excessive.
What would be excessive, then?
Well, I don't know.
In your opinion.
I think that you have to do something to protect society. And certainly I think that, a $1 million bail for a minor infringement is one thing, but if there's a real serious question about your being a murderer, and of course you've been indicted on that, certainly ordinarily before you're arrested, you're going to be indicted by a grand jury. I don't think that society can allow you to be out on the street, but then you would have to understand the Constitution. If you were guilty of a murder, this would not apply to you. A murder is something that's dealt with at the state and the local level, not at the federal level. The Bill of Rights is to limit the power of the central authority, not to limit the right of the state authorities, and that issue, if you are a murderer, would really be something at the state level, not the federal level. The trouble is that suddenly the federal government is getting into all sorts of things and all sorts of crimes it has no business even dealing with. If you really believe in the Constitution, the number of federal crimes are very, very limited. And you go back and you read the Section 8 of Article 1, those are the only things that the federal government can be involved in, and murder is not one of them. Certainly treason, they talk about treason, but they don't talk about murder. Murder is not a federal crime. That's a state crime.
That makes sense. What about the second part that says cruel and unusual punishment is forbidden? Couldn't you argue that capital punishment, death penalty, is unconstitutional on that basis?
Well, I believe that, of course, the Bible says that an eye for an eye, a tooth for the tooth, and the Bible approves of capital punishment, and I don't think there's anything wrong with capital punishment for somebody who's committed a terrible and heinous crime, and there's no question about it. My only concern about the death penalty is that sometimes, of course, we have corrupt courts. And when you have corrupt courts and corrupt prosecutors, and they can get away with withholding evidence from the defense and bringing in a perjured testimony, and nothing, of course, is ever done then to the prosecutors, that's what I'm concerned about. I think that if a prosecutor violates the law and misuses his authority, he should go to prison. But, if once we got the court systems cleaned up and we had moral laws, then I see nothing wrong with the death penalty, as long as this certainly goes along with the biblical acknowledgement that there is a place for capital punishment. And remember, our laws initially were based upon the Bible. But, once again, this is a state issue, not a federal issue.
That makes sense. Okay, once again, you've answered my question. Great show, and thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for calling, Robert. Again, our telephone number then is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, if you're out there, you have a question or comment, that's what Open Line Wednesday is all about. Well, anyway, of course, as our previous caller had said, the war with Iran could start at any moment. And my concern is if we do go to war with Iran, and they're going to need some sort of an incident to justify it. And whether it will be another false flag operation, and I say another false flag operation with full intent. And I would simply ask you to think back 6 years. I want you to think back to the day of September 11th. And you remember, of course, we saw the terrible collapse of the Twin Towers, and then, of course, we saw the smoke coming from the Pentagon. We didn't see anything attack there, but we were told that a plane had struck the building, and then we were told that a plane had actually crashed in a place called Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And that we were told of the story of the valued passengers, and let's roll, and their attack on the hijackers, and how, of course, the plane was careening through the sky and turning upside down, and then nose down and crashed into the ground. And I want you to think back of the pictures of the crash site. I remember seeing them. There was this big hole in the ground. There was no tail for the plane, no wings of the plane, no wreckage of the plane that nosed down and crashed into the ground. There were no bodies there. There were no luggage there, although there was a debris field over an 8-mile periphery, but there was nothing at the crash site. And I would simply ask you, how could that have happened? The only thing they found at the crash site that I could discover was a passport, a partially burned passport of one of the hijackers, so we knew who the hijacker was on the plane. How did that get out of this flaming inferno that consumed everything? It didn't leave any wreckage at all. Isn't it amazing? And then it's supposedly a Bible that was open to one page, and at least that's the story that we were told. And, of course, the other question is, were they lying to us? Because if they lied to us about one thing, why, they lied to us about everything. The other thing is simply go up on the FBI page, FBI.gov, or simply Google in FBI, Osama bin Laden. Look at the FBI poster, wanted poster for Osama bin Laden. And you know the most amazing thing? They don't even mention 9/11. They don't mention the World Trade Center. I wonder why. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we always enjoy our Open Line Wednesday. And you've got to learn, basically, how to address these various issues. If you question what we've been told about 9/11, why, you're accused of dishonoring the people who died there. And, of course, what you've got to do is learn how, in the process of a discussion and debate, to put the other side on the defensive. No, I'm not dishonoring the people who died that day. You are dishonoring them by not trying to find out what really happened. Why don't you... Why did the Bush administration block any efforts for an independent evaluation of what happened? Why did they insist on censoring both the first report by the Joint Intelligence Committee and the 9/11 Commission report? Why were half of the members of the 9/11 Commission, members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and certainly the one a senator was on there, who really, of course, wouldn't go along and was trying to find out what was happening, they just pushed him off the committee. If you don't believe that, read the book Without Precedent, certainly by Governor Thomas Keene and by Lee Hamilton, and they will tell you they got rid of the one man who wanted to find out what was going on, certainly the gentleman who was the counsel for the commission was a personal friend of Condoleezza Rice, and there were 1,200 people who testified in secret. Why in secret about what happened on 9/11? But there were 1,200 people who testified in secret, and 1,100 people's testimony was sealed for 50 years. Well, let's go to Kitty, calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Kitty. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. I want to ask you, because I've heard you refer to resveratrol.
Resveratrol, yes.
Yes, and I believe you said that your wife said that it improved the color in her hair. Is that right?
Yeah, it really did. It took a lot of the gray out of it for a time. A little of it's come back again, but for a time, a lot of the gray was gone. And basically, I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but she's really... when people see the two of us together, they think I've robbed the cradle. Because she only has a little tiny streak of gray, and because it's much less than it was.
Well,
but believe me, I take the resveratrol, and my hair is still gray.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. How about you? It doesn't affect...
No, I'm afraid that I'm just too old to go get back to black hair. This is not a routine thing. It's just one of those unusual things. You hang on there. We'll be glad to talk to you about it in just a moment here.
All right.
Well, we've got Kitty calling from Santa Cruz, and she had simply asked me about resveratrol, which is the molecule you find in the red grape. And there's a product sold by a friend of ours, Bill Sardi, and we don't carry it because we don't want to compete with him at all, and we actually buy it from him, and both my wife and I take it, and it's, we take one capsule a day, and at least with my wife, why, it really helped the gray in the hair dramatically. And of course, it's got a little bit of gray, but very little gray. In fact, for a time, it was almost gone. Looks like it's come back a little bit. So it really seems to have some amazing properties. And if you go up on the internet and look up resveratrol, now, Sydney, we happen to believe this one product put out by my friend is better. And you can call me off the air and I'll tell you why. But the resveratrol, there have been studies that show that it influences aging in animals. And, of course, the mice lived almost who took the resveratrol compared with those that didn't. One group lived almost at least half again as long, and it seems to have an effect as far as cancer. It really is a master gene that turns off or on about 600 other genes. I mean, the most amazing product. These molecules will tend to like turn off the genes, which is a little switch. The switch either produces a protein or an amino acid, or it doesn't. And this is the master one. Resveratrol is an amazing product. Anything else, Kitty?
Well, that's basically it.
All right, fine, but you can look up on the internet.
Well, I don't have an internet. I just have a telephone and a radio.
All right, fine. Well, if you have a friend, if you need some information on resveratrol, you can give us a call, and we'll certainly mail you something about it.
Well, I was hoping that you'd tell me what that name of that particular brand is.
Well, it's called Longevinex, and it's a specific type. The advantage to it is it's actually preserved in nitrogen. It's in a capsule. And if you have resveratrol in just tablet form or package form,
yeah,
the oxygen tends to deactivate it. Whereas if it is in nitrogen and it's packaged in nitrogen, it's actually packaged by Pfizer and Company. And it maintains its pharmacological activity for a good long while. So we think it's a great product.
And where would I find it?
You're going to have to get it off the internet. You can call us off the air. We can tell you about it. But right now, I don't know the number to call.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome to call, though. Thank you so much for your interest.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there listening to us, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because you're going to hear things here that you're not going to hear elsewhere. We want to remind you about our October 28th conference, all-day conference at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And, of course, if you're coming from out of the area, why, of course, we've reserved a block of rooms at the Sea Cliff Inn in Aptos, so we're going to have a great lineup of speakers. Dr. Garth Nicholson is going to give a couple of talks. Ron Brown will be here to talk about the financial crisis. Carol Matriciana is going to be talking about the New Age influence in our churches and yoga. Sydney Michael Shaw will be talking about sustainable development. So, of course, we hope that many of you can come, and we'll be serving lunch. It'll start at 8 o'clock in the morning and go through to 5 o'clock in the evening. A wonderful opportunity to meet people. Of course, to get information and material that will help you better to be prepared for the very difficult times that lie ahead. And hopefully we will be able to convince you, if we haven't already, that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you want to call and make reservations, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV. War. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And for this hour, why, our guest is going to be Carol Matriciano, and we're going to be talking about the influence of yoga and of other occult practices in the Christian church. Now, I think what's so difficult for most Christians to realize is that the enemy has infiltrated the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Jewish Church, and of course, they have their people planted in very key positions within the hierarchy of our organizations. And we saw that recently with the exposure that there was a man named Ted Haggard. He was the president of the 30 million person people represented by the National Associations of Evangelical Christians. The National Associations of Evangelical Christians was headed by a cocaine-using homosexual who was using his position to undermine Christianity. And, of course, he had a lot of influence there in Washington, D.C. And he never could have gotten to that position without the help of other people who were deceptively infiltrated Christianity simply to destroy it. I mean, Christianity is too strong to destroy from without. You can attack it, but if you infiltrate it and begin to change it, the thrust of Christianity, why, you can work very effectively. And this really has happened. They've infiltrated many of our seminaries. They've infiltrated other Christian organizations. Certainly many of our ministers don't even believe in hell. There are even some ministers who don't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ or the infallibility of the scriptures, and they believe that they're nice little stories, but certainly that's not the real way things really are. And by planting questions in the minds of young people going into the ministry, they've in many instances certainly destroyed the effectiveness of the Christian church. But now, of course, now we have yoga in the church. So I'm going to let Carol begin telling us what she has found. Of course, Carol's been on the front lines of this story and this investigation for many years, knows far more than I do. Carol Matriciano, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Please go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Stan, for giving us an opportunity to be able to talk about this absolutely insidious pagan practice that has come into our churches all over the West, specifically in America in the last several years, coming in as just an exercise. So many Christians practice yoga and say, oh, well, I only do it for the exercise, not realizing that the exercise, the physical aspects of yoga, can absolutely in no way be separated from the spiritual, religious part of yoga. And I'm not sure. I mean, I was born and raised in India, and any Hindu, any Indian will tell you that there is no Hinduism without yoga. There is no yoga without Hinduism. It's an absolute integral part of the religion of India, just as much as communion, the celebration of communion, is to the Christian, that Jesus died on the cross. As central as that is to the true message of Christianity, the true message of yoga is that Hinduism and yoga are intrinsically entwined.
Hold that thought, right? All right, go right ahead there, Carol.
Well, it was put together by the triune god of India. There's sort of the three-headed trinity God, although there are 333 million gods in Hinduism, there is a sort of trinity, triune God, and Shiva, the destroyer, the most powerful of the gods, is the head of this sort of triune deity. And he was the one who designed yoga, and it was put together by this the head of all Hindu gods, who then passed it along to Krishna, the lesser god. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. It is designed specifically to get the practitioner, to get Krishna, to understand that he is actually divinity, to open up the divine within himself, to connect him with the consciousness, the super being that Hinduism believes that the abstract, the greater supreme being is the abstract impersonal force, the consciousness. And yoga is designed to get every practitioner to connect into this consciousness, this state, this being that is awakened through serpent arousal, that that Hinduism teaches that a coiled serpent power is within each person at the bottom of their spine, and that this energy can be awakened through a psychic, through the wheels, the psychic centers of the spine, through visualization, through meditation, through breathing, through awakening the snake, through physical exercises of snake-like movements, animal movements, because the animals are also part of divinity, along with the 333 million gods. So the body has to entwine in lots of animal positions, in these postures that move the psychic energy, to eventually be able to get the practitioner to realize through the third eye in the middle of the forehead, through the wakening up of this serpent power, opening it up to go from the coiled position at the base of the spine to work its way up to the spine, and then come to this sort of center seat of learning in the middle of the third eye, the middle of the forehead, and connect to the idea of being divine, the consciousness. So,
in other words, we actually are divine. Is that the secret?
The secret is that man is ignorant. It's not like the Christian. We believe that we are separated from God through sin. The Hindu religion teaches that man is separated from this conscious being through ignorance. And he has got to be, the ignorance has got to be awakened through the serpent power, through the kundalini, through the practice of yoga, until the state of being connects through sort of self-hypnosis, in a sense, through self-meditation, that you are this divinity that man has forgotten he is.
And I think what people have to understand is that certainly the biblical story is that, of course, in the Garden of Eden, why the devil, personified by a serpent, certainly tempted Eve, and of course ended up getting Adam and Eve thrown out of the Garden of Eden. But of course it was at that point that the battle between God and Satan, between God and the serpent, of course it began. But it is the Hindu belief that there is a serpent in each one of us. It's known as the Kundalini. It's curled up there at the base of the spine. And of course what you want to do is certainly by yoga and by certainly exercises and simulating animal positions and posture and even serpent things that the serpent might do is to free the serpent so it can rise to actually take hold of you by coming into the third eye, that spot between right in the center of your forehead. And at that point, then, you recognize your divinity. Would that be a fair statement?
That would be, that's the idea, that's the exercise of yoga, is to realize that you are one with the consciousness, the supreme being, which is seen to be a consciousness, an abstract force out there, a sort of neutral force, and that's what we've lost connection with.
And I think what's really so important is that the belief, basic belief, is that there's a different God. this is not the God that the Christian worships, until people understand that the people who are in the New Age, the occult, into yoga, into all these other religions, believe in a different God, and they believe it.
You absolutely, Dr. Stan. One is a personal being. The God of the Bible is a personal being with emotions, who the Word became flesh to show us that God has emotions. He who sits in the heavens laughs. He weeps. Jesus wept. He loves. He hates evil. This is a personal being. A triune God, the Holy Spirit is personal, Jesus Christ is personal, God the Father is personal. Now the energy that is the supreme being of Hinduism and Eastern mysticism is an abstract force, it's an energy. It's something that man is meant to connect into through an experience. So it is absolutely worlds apart, and also in Christianity, the only religion that talks against the serpent is the biblical concept. In Christianity, the Bible reports that the serpent is evil, but every other culture edifies the wisdom of the serpent. The very Far Eastern, the Chinese, Japanese, the dragon, which is another name for the serpent, is seen to be a powerful, wise creature. And Eastern mysticism tries to connect into snake power. In fact, many of the gods of Hinduism you will see have a coiled snake around their neck. Shiva, the destroyer of the triune Murti, as it's called in Hinduism, has the snake wrapped around his shoulders and around his neck. The snake power, the cobra, covers many of the gods. So the covering of the deities in India have the covering of the snake, which is seen as a creature of wisdom, and one has to connect into this wisdom. So they're totally opposed beings, in the sense of the supreme being being impersonal, a consciousness, an experience, and the idea of yoga has always been linked synonymously with the idea of reincarnation. Hinduism teaches that the body, while the flesh may die, the spirit goes into another body and becomes flesh again, and then that body dies and it becomes flesh again. So it's a constant circle of renewal of flesh, and depending on what you did in your past life will determine what type of creature you come back in the future, whether it's an animal, whether it's a lesser man, a lesser woman, a greater man of it. And there is no way of being able to undo the cycle in reincarnation. You can't stop death. It's not stoppable. Yoga doesn't stop it, but it teaches you to procrastinate and to shorten this cycle of reincarnation, to be able to get into this consciousness that hopefully will shorten the cycle of death. So the idea of yoga is that it is a substitute for death. It's a practice that procrastinates death, whereas the Christianity, the message of the Bible, is that Jesus himself took on the penalty of sin, died in order that we can be resurrected. We die once is the judgment, once is the death, and we are resurrected through Jesus Christ.
Well, of course, the idea that they have been able to bring yoga into the Christian churches under the name of Christian yoga, and by labeling it Christian, Christians are just taken into this, and of course now people are going to church, and then they'll have their exercise time, and here they're being indoctrinated in Christian yoga, and the average Christian is really totally incapable of understanding what's going on. After all, if it's happening in the church, it must be good, but that doesn't necessarily follow, does it?
Well, in fact, Dr. Stan, I just finished making, about 3 months ago, made this DVD, Yoga Uncoiled, From East to West, A Look into the Practice of Yoga in the Church. And the reason that I made this DVD was because of this growing fascination with the church, with yoga. And it really, the New Age movement is a westernized Eastern mysticism. Eastern mysticism has been around for thousands and thousands of years. Hinduism has been around for as long as Eastern mysticism. Buddhism was an offshoot of Hinduism. Buddha was a Hindu who reformed. So the whole concept of yoga meditation has always been connected with Eastern mysticism. But when this started being changed into the New Age movement, which is just a westernized version of Eastern mysticism, and then yoga started becoming westernized for the Western mindset and separated as just an exercise, a physical exercise. But what I show in this DVD, Yoga Uncoiled from East to West, is that even Orthodox Hindus take issue with the fact that Christians are trying to separate yoga physically and spiritually. It cannot be separated. It's a spiritual exercise that it is the very essence of Hinduism, and they really take issue that Christians are thinking that it can be separated.
Okay,
and I interviewed Hindus in this movie. I interviewed practitioners. I show the history of yoga, and then of course the way that it's being westernized and Christianized, with Christian people trying to adapt it, putting scripture verses to it, and actually still connecting with the deities of Hinduism, but in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, of course, the thing is that as you try to bring this out, you know, in your video, which you do an excellent job of, but what sort of response are you getting from the Christian church as you begin pointing out how it has been infiltrated by these occult practices?
Well, it is amazing, Dr. Stan, how defensive Christians are about this. They will just say, well, I'm just merely doing it for the exercise. I can separate the spiritual from the exercise. But you see, it can't be separated. What's happening is that if people could only understand the supernatural world, the West has kind of become very blinded to there even being a supernatural reality, that there's a supernatural war out there, that there are supernatural entities, spiritual warfare. They don't understand this. So the demons or the supernatural beings out there, they don't care if the Christians are calling them by Christian names, Christian verses, Bible verses. They still, through the postures and through the very movements that have been designed as the doorways to bring them in, these postures, these concepts have been given over to them. So a Christian can't, in a sense, be involved in something that has been offered up to Eastern deities and Eastern mysticism through the Hindu practice, and then think that they're not connecting to these deities just because they're calling these deities by Christian names. It doesn't change the reality of what's taking place spiritually.
Well, like, have you had any opposition?
Emails of concerned people that say, well, no, they rationalize what they're doing, and they say, well, you know, I pray before I do it, or the Jesus that I'm visualizing is the Jesus from the Bible. Well, you can't even do that, because the Bible won't allow us to make an image of Jesus in our imagination.
No, because they're doing that, and they're using visualization techniques and relaxation techniques and breathing techniques, and all of these are opening the tragic people up to demonic possession, in my estimation. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Carol. This is a very important issue, because many Christians involved in these processes do not realize that they're being taken away from the true faith. And of course, I will soon, of course, cease to be Christians. Well, Chris, Carol, this really is rather frightening, to think that Christians are simply being subverted within the church itself, and you actually, in your DVD, actually show where this is, these programs, these exercise programs are being held right on the church ground.
Absolutely, in the sanctuaries across the nation, Baptist churches. Churches that one would never have thought. One would have thought, well, you know, perhaps more liberal churches. Even in the 80s, when the New Age movement was sort of had peaked in a way, still yoga was not, in a sense, being practiced in evangelical, conservative buildings and congregations. But today, that's why I made this. This is an update. Yoga Uncoiled is an update of a movie that I made in the early 80s called Gods of the New Age, which introduced the history of the New Age movement, that it had its roots in Eastern mysticism. In India, we interviewed gurus in India. The god men went to the Hindu festivals. And so the point of the Yoga Uncoiled 2 decades later is to show how it has come into the churches, cleaned itself up, polished itself up with Christian names, Bible verses, visualizing Jesus, as they call it, breathing in the Holy Spirit, as it's now being called. Well, these are still Hindu techniques of breathing, self-hypnosis, imagining a snake power coming up and down the spine, except now it's being called the Holy Spirit, the breath of God moving up the spine. It's absolutely blasphemous. It's incredible to think that Christians are visualizing the Holy Spirit as a serpent or as a power being moved up the spine, being moved up, and in fact still using the names, the positions. Some of the Hindu deities, one of the positions is cobra, and they still do the cobra position, call it cobra, and say the presence of God is moving in and out of the body.
Well, of course, really, what they're doing is they're using their mind to visualize these things and playing games with their own mind. And of course, once you open your mind up in this manner, why, of course, the demonic forces, I'm convinced, can come in. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Hello again. I do have a question for Carol. What is the relationship between the holistic medicine and the New Age movement? There's some relationship there that I find very disturbing. Recently, I know somebody that whose child was bitten by a black widow spider, and she wouldn't go to a regular doctor. She went to a herbalist, and it got worse, and his condition got much worse, and he was life threatening, and she wouldn't go to a regular doctor. These people are blinded to Western medicine, and I think I think this New Age thing is hypnotizing these people, or doing something to them. I think it's very serious.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the thing is that there are certain justifications for criticism of traditional medicine. On the other hand, traditional medicine has much to offer, and so let's go ahead and get Carol's response. What do you think about the holistic medicine movement and this New Age movement and occult movement?
Well, that's a very good question, Ray, and I think what one has to do is...
Well, hold that thought. We're going to just bring our stations back on board, and we'll be... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ray is calling from Santa Cruz, and Ray is simply asking Carol, what's the relationship between the holistic medicine movement and what you're talking about in the occult? Certainly, he was pointing out that some woman's daughter had recently been bitten by a black widow spider, and they wouldn't go to a conventional doctor. They insisted on going to a herbalist, and so he wants to know what the relationship is between this holistic medicine and of course what we're talking about. So this is a complete abandonment of traditional medicine. So, Carol, you go ahead and answer the question, please.
Well, there's three different issues here. First of all, there is justification to question some of the traditional ways of medicine. So, you know, I certainly can see that it's, in certain ways herbs are beneficial. However, let's get back to the spiritual aspect. Ray asked what was the connection between holistic medicine and the New Age movement. First of all, we've got to understand that the New Age movement is a Western name for Eastern mysticism and Hinduism. At the very root of Eastern mysticism is Hinduism. The idea is that we human beings are part of a holistic movement that is body, soul, and mind. We are not individual beings. We are part of a huge cosmic consciousness.
The supreme being
is seen as a cosmic consciousness, and we are part of this universal versatility, if you will.
So the
idea of body, soul, and mind has to blend into the spiritual idea of blending in with superhuman consciousness. Once we understand that, then we see that when the spirit is being treated, or the body is being treated with the idea of body, mind, spirit all being one.
So a
problem like this spider bite is looked at as a spiritual problem. Well, of course it's not. It's a physical problem.
And
it needs to be treated physically.
Yeah.
And this is the danger of holistic medicine, that it's seen as all, you know, blobbed into this sort of energy thing, and that you can get by it and through it by visualizing and by treating the whole, that is body, mind, spirit. Whereas in this case, this poor child has been bitten by a black widow spider and needs physical treatment in a very serious physical way. And, you know, perhaps there is a herb that can help, but for goodness sake,
Let
physical body be treated.
Well, they had a serum available at Stanford Hospital, and she refused to give her child, to have her child be given the serum.
Ray, in this case, what's happened is that New Ageism, or the idea of Eastern mysticism, the idea of treating body, mind, spirit, has the superstition of Eastern mysticism has come into the West and is completely destroying what the reality of science has brought in to help. I mean, my goodness, if New Age mysticism is working so well, why isn't India, the religion, the people of India that are steeped in this superstitious religion, why aren't they all healthy, happy, holy beings? You know what, let's get back to the reality. I was born and raised in India. I lived there for the first 20 years of my life. It's a very, very sad culture. I love the Indian people. I went to school with them. I lived with them. Many of my dearest friends are Indians. Some of them are Hindus. Some of them are Muslims. Some of them are Christians. So I'm not talking against them as people, but
right.
the superstition, the religion of India, the Hinduism of India, absolutely kills sanity and sane decision making because of some of its spiritual leanings.
Basically, Ray, what happened to this girl?
Well, it was a boy, actually.
It was a boy, okay.
But, okay. His muscles started to deteriorate. They had him on morphine.
Is this something that happened fairly recently?
Very, very recently, yeah.
All right, fine. Because, you know, ordinarily a black widow spider bite, a pie will respond to atropine. And, of course, this tends to counter the pharmacological effect of it. There are wonderful things that have been accomplished with medicine. There's some terrible things that are going on with medicine. And the trouble is that the average individual is not in a position to be able to differ them. I'll tell you that the miraculous things that I did as an orthopedic surgeon of replacing joints and healing bones, because I didn't heal them, God healed them, but anyway, to be able to put them together so they'd heal anatomically. Amazing things. There are certain things that can be done with heart surgery. Unbelievable. But, you know, you have to understand there's some bad things in medicine, too. And, well, we just need to be able to tell which is which. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly in holistic medicine, there is this tremendous emphasis on the occult, on this, getting in touch with yourself, meditating, and of course, the thing is that we have to be able to separate truth from falsehood. I mean, a lot of the people in holistic medicine are the chiropractors. Well, sometimes chiropractors can really help. And other times why you need a conventional doctor. And of course, this is why it's nice if you have a doctor who understands all sides and can practice traditional medicine and yet accept help when help from the other side is needed. Anything else you'd like to ask?
I think that answers it very well.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much for calling.
Bye.
All right, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we have Frank calling from West Virginia. Hi, Frank. How are you doing?
Hi, doing fine. How are you doing?
Fine. How's the program coming in shortwave there?
It's a little spotty right now, but I really love your show, and I look forward to hearing it every chance I get.
All right, fine. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I wanted to first mention, as I've said before on the show a while back, is that I teach martial arts, and as a boy coming up through the ranks in several different Chinese martial arts, I found that this mysticism oftentimes will come into a lot of different subjects, even martial arts. The teachers that I had brought over traditionally from China some of the Taoism and Buddhist philosophies. And I find that's true of most people bringing their philosophical philosophies into metaphysical philosophies. Myself being a Christian, I bring that into my teachings. As to what would justify certain violence and what would be best to do to avoid it and so forth. One thing I found, though, is it took a lot of discernment to discern, as you brought up, Doctor, many times, how do we tell the difference between, you know, something that's occultic and something that is truly just simply physical. Now, what I'm hearing about yoga, I've never taken it, but I've seen it practiced. It seems to have gone into everything is represented by the Hinduism or the spiritual occultic aspects as opposed to some of the martial arts which are purely physical. If it's taught properly without the other backgrounds of the false religions. I was wondering if maybe you could address that issue of how to discern between that which would be truly, you know, the occultic or the false spiritism.
All right, let's get Carol to answer that. Hold just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and calling in from West Virginia is Frank, and he teaches martial arts. Now, he is coming into this as a Christian, and he recognizes that certainly within the martial arts, why there is an occultic influence, and certainly some of the people who teach martial arts are deeply involved in the occult. And of course, it has to do, many of the things that actually happen in the martial arts have to do with your state of mind and putting your mind into this sort of this open fashion so that these spirits can come into you. And I think some of the feats that we see, with the martial art practitioners, they're really opening themselves up to demonic possession. On the other hand, simply as a form of combat, a form of exercise, a form of strengthening yourself, a form of self-defense. How do you separate one from the other, Carol?
Well, but hello, Frank, by the way. First of all, occult, as I'm sure you know, means hidden, and there's a hidden spirituality, hidden philosophical, hidden metaphysical spirituality in the martial arts and in yoga. The martial arts came out of Eastern mysticism based in Hinduism. It's just a reformed, the Chinese Buddhism is still all part of that Eastern mystical idea of all of us being one with the Supreme Being, the idea that we are all part of a universal consciousness. So I think it has got to be understood that this is rooted in a different religious viewpoint to a biblical scriptural viewpoint. Yoga and the martial arts were never designed for physical, total physical being. It wasn't designed for that. So if one wants to do physical exercise, then go to an exercise, a format that was designed specifically for physical encouragement, physical strength, physical combat, etc. But yoga and martial arts were not designed for that. It was part of a spiritual fighting technique. The soldiers that were part of defending the monks, the monasteries, it was all part of a spirituality. It was deeply entwined, as is yoga. It was deeply entwined with a philosophical, metaphysical concept of a spirituality that is in opposition to biblical spirituality. So, in fact, recently, about a month ago, I spoke to a Chinese martial arts teacher who has been looking into it, and for a couple of years now, he feels that his faith has really, in his desire to be true to the God of the Bible, he went back and looked at the roots of his profession, his teaching, and came to the conclusion recently that it can't be spiritually untwined. And it was a very brave decision on his part. It was a very searching one, because he's made a career of it. He's a teacher, and he tried to combine his martial arts with Christianity, with being a Christian, and trying to unite them. And he has been deeply convicted. So I'm not sure that the two of them, that one can practice martial arts and honestly be faithful.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you to the extent of those who, for instance, like what I just first brought up, those who bring in their religious background, whether it be Hindu or Buddhist or Taoist or what have you, do that in all areas of life. Even martial arts is one. It's apparent in many subjects, as a matter of fact.
Right,
but have you ever studied biblical
martial
arts?
Separated from its spiritual roots.
Well, I agree with you to a large extent, but martial arts in and of itself is kind of a broad-based term. You defined it correctly in the warfare, the martial being that of battle or study of warfare. The art is trying to perfect that, improve upon that, and so forth. David,
it was designed to protect the monks and to be able to connect into the forces and powers and principalities, so that the power of the forces could be brought, harnessed into the human being, to be able to unite with the power in order to win the fighting.
Well,
so it was a
true Buddhism.
Sorry?
That is true of Buddhism.
Well,
there's also Western arts as well. There's David, King David was a great martial artist, as we study in the Bible.
No, he wasn't, Frank. David was nothing to do with Eastern mysticism, martial arts. David was a fighter, a soldier, who was very clearly connected to the God of the Bible, a personal God. He got his strength, his speaking, his messages very, very clearly from a personal being that he had a relationship with. That is completely different to harnessing in with powers and principalities that we know to exist within the supernatural realm, to connect in with those forces to be able to fight. The very terminology is different.
All right, well, we won't solve it tonight, Frank, but I appreciate your calling so much, Frank.
Sure. Yes, doctor. You take care now.
God bless. Bye-bye. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Mike, did you have a question or comment for our guest?
I have a couple of comments, if you don't mind. First of all, I never heard of a martial art where they use slingshots. David, as a shepherd, it's in the text that says he killed the lion and the bear, I believe, with his slingshot. And he had many hours through his childhood to practice with that thing, and he got good. And when the time came, God used him to kill Goliath.
And of course, in battle, they used to use swords and shields. They did not use martial arts.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. Do you have a question?
Back to your discussion of the Holy Spirit and the serpent. Would you mind if I read four short sentences from Albert Pike in Morals and Dogma?
Well, it's a little off the subject there, but...
No, it's completely on your subject, and I think Carol will appreciate it. This is from page 734 in Morals and Dogma, the Bible, the Bible of Freemasonry, compiled by Albert Pike himself. These four sentences: there is a like principle in the world, a universal agent, wherein are two natures and a double current of love and wrath. That's the yin-yang. This ambient fluid penetrates everything. It is a ray detached from the glory of the sun and fixed by the weight of the atmosphere and the central attraction. It is the body of the Holy Spirit, the universal agent, the serpent, devouring its own tail.
And of course, when he speaks of the Holy Spirit, he's not speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Christian Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit, of course, of the occult, right?
Exactly. But here in this obscene pagan book is Holy Spirit capitalized H and S.
All right,
an amazing place to find those words.
Yes, right. Exactly. I agree with you, Mike. And there again, the opposites, the yin-yang, the idea of... the serpent and the Holy Spirit being one is completely blasphemous, and I think this is where we need to look at the character of Satan himself, who comes as an angel of light and that serpent of old, the dragon of old. He has this huge spectrum of white magic and black magic all in one source, whereas in the scriptures we're told that God the Father, there is no variation in him, there is no shadow in him. And this is the distinct difference between the one who is the absolute truth, the absolute purity, who hates evil, who cannot be in the presence of it, had to separate himself from the sinner, yet sent his own word, his flesh made, his word made flesh so that he could dwell amongst us, carry the penalty of sin, and deal with it that way. But here we've got, as we become more and more pagan in our culture, as paganism becomes mainstream, we start calling the white side of Lucifer the angel of light, the Holy Spirit, and the dark side, Satan or the dragon of old. And of course, the serpent loves that, being his white side being called the Holy Spirit and his dark side being called, he'll give himself credibility, but it's just absolutely blasphemous and wretched. And thank you for clarifying about David not being involved in martial arts, because there again is where the fusion of the New Age movement, the westernized Eastern mystical idea, comes in, that we think that we can embrace Eastern thinking, Hindu thinking, Buddhist thinking, whatever it is, the mysticism of the East, with that huge powers and principalities and cosmic consciousness, is totally different to the God of the Bible, who is a supreme being and person.
Right. But this serpent, let me just reiterate, is described as the life principle of the world, with a capital L, capital P, life principle of the world, and the universal agent. This is the Holy Spirit of Freemasonry, and I believe it's identical. All this is drawn, the whole Morals and Dogma is drawn from the mysticisms,
yes,
the mystical religions. And
yes,
so we have these mystical holy people running around the world, especially in Washington, D.C., and they use words like the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus Christ. And Christians, stupid as they are, and I'm one, but I'm not stupid the way they are, believe they listen to these people talking using these biblical words, and they think they must be Christians, and they're not.
What I think here again, Mike, is this problem that we have is that they believe in a different God. They believe in God, and they believe in Jesus Christ, but they believe in the Christ, not Jesus Christ. They believe in God, but a different God. They believe in the Holy Spirit, but a different Holy Spirit. And until people can understand that, why, of course, we end up being totally confused.
Well, and also I think, Dr. Stan, it's because we're given over to a spirit of deception. The Lord says that if we will not tolerate his purity and his truth from Scripture, and we try and bend it through our imagination and justification, he gives us over to a spirit of delusion. And this is happening more and more as the church is becoming apostate, not looking at things from God's way, calling evil good, calling good evil. We are being deceived, and this is a very deception where Christians are going to stand before the throne of God in the last days and say, but Lord, Lord, we did this in your name, and we did that in your name, and we preached you, Lord. And he'll say, I don't know you. What a very, very sad place to be in, unless we get ourselves straight right now from the Bible, go to the Bible, confess our sin, show where we have fallen in error, confess our sin, and reunite with God's biblical discernment into God's opinions through the Scriptures, and not justify what we want to do through being conned and deceived with spirits of deception and wrong doctrines that are coming through the church.
The
previous caller asked the question of how to discern the occult, and he's got himself, I think, up to his eyeballs in martial arts, from what I could gather, anyhow.
He's an instructor. I mean, he's a sincere individual, and I'm sure he believes he can separate the martial arts from the occult. And yeah, I think that Carol is absolutely right. I mean, you can't separate it from the occult.
They are
one and the same. It's a state of mind.
Yeah, you can call it a holistic system, similar to the other caller that was asking about holistic medicine. It is, like Carol was saying, a body-mind-soul approach to healing, where they have a cosmology and an idea of the human spirit and certainly ideas about the body. And holistic medicine can be used if it's purely related to the body. I believe there are medicines found in nature, for example, that anybody can find and apply, and you don't have to be a Buddhist.
Of course you can. You can apply herbs.
Yeah,
the reality of herbs for physical healing. I totally agree with you.
Right.
Okay.
When it's a holistic
approach,
which then goes into a philosophical, metaphysical spirituality, then that's the difficulty.
Most practitioners are involved in the inappropriate ways. And martial arts, though, I don't believe can be separated.
I don't believe they can either, and I think that's a very good point. Thanks very much,
well,
Mike. Sydney, I believe that this is a very valid point. You cannot separate one from the other. Carol, I wanted to ask you something, and I've often wondered, when we see these people who are practicing martial arts, and they, get three or four bricks there, I don't know, or big cement blocks or something, and then they raise their hand up and they yell hi or something or other, and then they smash that down and they actually break these blocks in two. Do you think that they're using supernatural force to do it? Do you think that they're able to actually tone their body to do that? Or do you think that they're calling on spiritual realities to do that?
Well, taken from the experience of this martial arts teacher that I've been speaking to for the last couple of months, he believes that there is a huge spiritual power that is being siphoned in, is being processed through the practitioner and through the teacher. And he gave some stories of his teacher who was able to have 15 people push against him and couldn't be moved because his power was so great. So from his experience, he said that when these people get into their altered state, are able to harness in powers and principalities, and of course they believe that they're doing it through their own physical body, because that is the understanding of the martial arts, that you're doing it through physical strength, but actually the body and the mind are being given over to the powers and principalities, the forces of darkness, the greater consciousness behind the martial arts, behind yoga. And when these things are given position and possession of the body, they can accomplish great feats indeed. So,
in fact, they're actually supernatural feats because they are calling upon the supernatural. This is what people really don't understand. And when we see these demonstrations, we say, isn't that amazing? But nobody ever explains the spiritual and occult forces is at work. When we see these martial arts experts, you know, shattering all these cement blocks and these other things. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap this evening's program up with Carol Matriciana. Carol, let's get out your website and your how people get in touch with you if they'd like to.
Yes, my website is for Carol Productions. Carol, by the way, is spelled C-A-R-Y-L, Carol Productions. And you can go to the website with www.carol.tv.com. So it's www.carol.tv.com. And all the information is there, the phone numbers and address, etc. And particularly for this, the DVD that we've been talking about tonight, Yoga Uncoiled from East to West, that shows how the Beatles were able to bring in Eastern mysticism in the 60s, that over just a few short years, an entire generation had their eyes turned to the East, turned to Eastern mysticism, and that became cleaned up, polished up, repackaged for the West as the New Age movement, and has now been repackaged in Christian terminology, biblical terminology, being called Christian martial arts, Christian yoga, Christian visualization, Christian breathing, all these mystical techniques for being able to move psychic power within the body have now been given credit, if you will, credited in the name of Jesus, being introduced to Christians for Christians to practice. It's a very, very scary position, and particularly in the light of in the Bible where it says there's going to be the apostasy in the last days, and we see the apostates falling away from the faith, understanding that the whole purpose of yoga was to cut short the reincarnation of man's continual hopeless wheel of dying and being born again, dying and being born again, and trying to connect into the divinity that the Eastern mystical religions teach, that we are all part of a greater cosmic energy and part of the divine, and if only we can connect into that, then we will be realize that we are gods. And this is exactly the same lie that the serpent said to Eve, that she could be like God if she listened to him. So through mind manipulation and mental games and visualizing, listening to the serpent in the garden, Eve began to doubt God. Surely God hasn't said this. That's the doubting of the word. You can be like God if you can have your eyes opened up, have this other metaphysical wisdom. And he used her mind to pull her away and said, surely you won't die.
Hold that thought for all the time. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening has been Carol Matriciana. And let's get that website off one more time, Carol.
www.caryltv.com. CARYLTV.com.
God bless you. Thank you so very much. It's been a fascinating hour. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. And, of course, it's Carol Matriciana. And, of course, we're talking about her video, Yoga Unwound from East to West, Yoga from East to West Unbound. And certainly we do carry that if you're interested in getting it. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Pardon me, 1-800-544-8927. We carry a number of Carol's. DVDs, certainly the spiritual warfare DVD, Hollywood's Attack on Christianity. Certainly go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, or if you'd like to get a pre-catalog, we'd be glad to send it to you. Carol does a wonderful job of getting this information together. You must understand that Christianity is under attack on all sides today, from without, from within. And there are people who have been planted within the Christian movement to undermine our Christian faith. Once you understand that, why so much of what's going on really does begin to make sense. Now, certainly there are lots of different views within Christianity of the pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, pre-millennial, amillennial, post-millennial, Calvinism, Arminianism, Catholic, Protestant. I don't get into a lot of these discussions because they're totally counterproductive. The important issue is, do we believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, in the virgin birth, the crucifixion and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Those are the very fundamentals of our faith, and the fact that God died for us as sinners so that we may live eternally. That's the basis of Christianity, and that is the emphasis of our program. And, of course, we do hope many of you will go to our website and at RadioLiberty.com, pull down the various newsletters we have there if you want to understand what's really going on in Iraq today, if you want to understand what's happening financially, if you want to understand the problems we have with vaccines, if you want to understand so many of the things we talk about here, why, of course, our programs are there. They're going to be archived. You'll be able to hear the program with Carol for 6 weeks. After that, of course, you can get copies of the programs by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you will be planning on coming to our October 28th meeting. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and of course Carol will be one of our speakers. And if you're coming from out of county, why, of course, we have reserved a block of rooms, but you're going to have one by the 28th of this month, or of course the price of the rooms is going to go up. So if you'd like directions on how to get here, you'd like to come, well, I would love to see you. We're going to have a great program. Start at 8 o'clock in the morning, serve lunch, go through until 5 in the evening. Again, our number, if you're interested in more information, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free catalog, or if you'd like to get an emergency food catalog, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, right now, of course, the price of wheat's up over $8 a bushel, and rising. The price of so many of the foods are rising rapidly. If you're going to make preparations over the difficult times that lie ahead, this is the time to do it. Do not put it off. If you'd like a free emergency food catalog, if you'd like a health catalog, or a regular catalog, we provide all of them to you free of charge. We want you to begin thinking about where we are headed as a nation. Because remember, there's no instance in all history where a nation is turned against God, where God is not again eventually turned against that nation. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, because if our people don't turn back to God, I see little hope for the survival of our nation. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.